They advised this is a PG-13 rated show due to vulgarity or cursing. The show is uncensored and will feature swearing. Use caution when listening.
Whoa, that was weird. Where did that odd-sounding Italian woman come from? Anyway, you are now listening to the Average Gods podcast with your host Robert Keller. We hope you enjoy the show, and thank you for listening. Now, get ready for the hellos. To be honest, I'm not sure why he insists on always starting every episode with hello, hello, hello. I tried telling him he should come up with a new intro, but he never listens. Okay, Robert, go ahead.
Well, it's good to be back. It's been a while. Let's do this intro. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to AGP. This is episode 12, the longest episode it's ever taken to record. I am your host, Robert Kaler. It has been a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a 2 months. This is more appropriate. The last episode I put out was, I think, at the beginning of June. All of June went by. All of July went by. All of August went by. So it's almost the entire summer. The show has been on hiatus. Not intentional by any means. There's been a lot going on, and I hope to address that in today's episode and give some background as far as what's been going on in my life. But it feels oddly satisfying to finally be back behind the microphone and have the laptop open and back in these ad hoc studios I always put together. It has been, again, a hell of a week, a hell of a summer. Hope everybody's summer has been going well. We are coming at you live from South Orange Studios in South Orange, New Jersey. I'm forgetting the entire intro, and I'm trying to remember how it all goes. I had it written down, but it was a little test to myself to see if I remembered everything. I think I did. Well, this episode's going to be a little bit of a catch-up. I hope to get producing content going forward that is much more typical. Again, new ideas, creative ideas, but sort of your typical content. But for the most part, I wanted to just get an episode out and go from there. What's been going on? So for some people, this will be more of like a time capsule in some way. I graduated in sometime in June. The graduation went through. And the beginning of the graduation went very, very well. Pretty much, I felt very, very proud being there. And it was cool seeing all the doctorates, like, talk about all their crazy things they were doing. Because for most of us who are graduating with just our MAs, it was just you did your MA and that's great. Everybody does their thesis. Or most people do an MA thesis, but not everybody does. The doctorates obviously do their dissertation, and their dissertations get published, and they're just a big deal. They're just much more of a big deal. They've been working on them usually for like almost 5 to 6 years. And they had all the science people getting their PhDs. There were some other ones, but the science people's PhDs were like testing mitochondria cancer cells within deformed rat brains. Very, very, very intensive scientific stuff that blew my mind, and was sitting there the entire time going like, dear God, these people like are like Elon Musk level of intelligent. Obviously they're not taking people into Mars, which it seems like Elon Musk is kind of on that level where nobody can really touch him. He seems to have that like almost God level of ability. He just wants to do things, and he'll be like automated cars, right? But he's like trying to build tunnels, and if he wants something, he just gets it. He's like a little king that can just do whatever he wants. But he's very, very fascinating. And I'm watching these people get these degrees, and I'm proud of my MA, and I'm proud of what I wrote about. But there must be a great feeling of satisfaction knowing that you've been studying like rat shit for 6 years, and you've been able to put this into an amazing dissertation that you now will be famous for, or at least famous in the academic community. So that was the graduation. Afterwards, everything was really great, and I was able to secure a job pretty much right when I graduated. I was only out for maybe a week or two, and I got a call, and then I did all the interview process and everything like that, and now I've been working, and I've been at I've been working for a couple, 1 or 2 or 3 months now, probably 3 months. There's just a lot been going on. And one of the big things I wanted to talk about was I was able to move out, finally. I've been living, I moved out relatively early. If you want to consider that moving for my MA, I was pretty much moved out. But it's, university is not the same, right? There's an extreme level of independence of knowing that, like, you're paying all your rent and all of your bills are on top of you and you're going to work and that's kind of it. When you're a student, there's always some, I guess I would call it responsibility, because you always need to be at that school. And whenever you're in school, it's the real world doesn't hit you when you're in school. You're sitting there and you're learning about whatever the hell you're learning about, and that real world still hasn't punched you in the face. And that's not to take anything away from people who I know are in MA programs or just in normal undergrad studies and are working. I guess you could work a full-time job. Yeah. Well, no, there's no way. Maybe part-time, but whatever. You're working a lot. That's still, but it's not the same. And just, I can definitely say the stress and the anxiety has been so intense that I've been on so many verge of mental breakdowns, and I've never ever experienced anything like that. The isolation you feel at first, the stress of recognizing that you don't really have your safety net anymore. And maybe it's just maybe how I perceive things, but it was an insane feeling and an insane experience. The crazy thing was, I was, one of the stories that I have was, we were moving all the furniture, and one of my best friends who was helping me, who I hope to get on here probably within by the end of the year to tell some stories, he was helping me move it, and God bless him. It was just a hot day that day, and he was just pouring sweat. God bless him. But he was pouring sweat like he was running a marathon. And I guess in some ways he kind of was running a marathon. So we're running up and down these steps all the damn time. And my apartment's on the third floor, that the apartment I'm moving out of. And we're taking all this stuff down, and it's boiling. And at one point he like slips, and he's carrying like something, and he slips on the steps. And after he slips on the steps, I should have known that was the beginning. Well, also he showed up late, and what was hilarious was he shows up just on time when I ask him to get there, and I go, I pretty much go like, hey, how was the traffic and everything? And he goes, I got here in 1 hour and 25 minutes. Now, if anybody knows that to get from Northeast PA to South Orange, New Jersey, is 2 hours. It takes 2 hours. I don't care who you are, it takes 2 hours. He was able to get there in 1 hour and 25, which only goes to show what kind of driver and how incredible his driving skills are. I mean, he was there and he helped out, but that should have been the first warning. So after that, then he's fallen down the steps. Then he's sweating like a goddamn pig. And then after that, we're moving into the new apartment and we get all of it done. We go to eat after, and we eat at like a pizza shop. And after it, we're going out, and he starts vomiting when we're at the mall. And what I could tell you was, we're there, we're go upstairs, we're just trying to do, because we're missing some things, you know what I mean? When you're moving to a new apartment, you kind of realize, oh, I need this, I need that. And I'm going from a room apartment to a full apartment, three rooms or four rooms, something like that. But a bathroom, a kitchen, a dining room, a living room, and a bedroom. From a one-room apartment where you're sharing everything else, you're sharing a bathroom, you're sharing a common area, you're sharing a kitchen, and now you have it all. Of course, there's going to be things that you forget. So we stop at Macy's to pick some things up, and sure enough, after eating the pizza, must have just got to him, or the pizza must have just upset him somehow. And we go to the bathroom. He goes into the stall, and at first, I hear a sound that is just downright demonic. It's something that I don't ever want to hear again. Now, I'm of course thinking he's shitting himself. Okay, it happens. I understand that. But I realized that after like 3 or 4 times, there's just no way the human intestine has that much shit in them. And then when I listened really closely, I realized, I was like, oh no, he's throwing up. He's vomiting. And it, I know he's going to hate me for telling this story, but it was just, I think he would agree. It was violent. I have never seen. Do you remember the fucking Exorcist movie where her heads are spinning around and the vomit is projectile? I did not see the projectile vomit, but I heard it. And in my mind, it was 100% projectile. And if I ever get him on, I'm going to ask him and ask him to confirm that, if he will. I don't know if he will, but it was violent. And it was just, there's always something that goes crazy. Whenever him and I are doing something, always something goes crazy. And like I said, hopefully towards the end of the year, I'll try to get him on to tell one or two or three stories. That'll be great. But so he's projectile vomiting. Everybody's sweating. Everybody's kind of miserable because everybody's helping. My mom and dad, he's here. We finally move everything in. He goes home, and there's this insane feeling of isolation that comes over you. And it came over me because I used to live with four other people. Now I have an entire apartment, and there's nobody really near me. It's a small apartment, and there's only a lady next to me and a guy. There's another guy who lives close. So, and it's in the middle of like the suburbs. This is not a city apartment. I used to live right on a main street. The isolation that happens is insane. I was not ready for how much that was overwhelming. And the crazy part was you learn to just calm yourself down after a while. But when you first feel it, it comes over you like a plague, and it rotted me. I was ill. I was nauseous. I was sobbing. It was very, very, very emotional. But I don't really know what it was. I didn't feel scared. Yeah, I didn't feel like I was in danger. There was definitely like an isolation factor from always having people all that day to now pure just silence. Those rooms and everything just become so empty, and you start. I remember leaving all the lights on and everything at first because they didn't like that, all that vastness of everything. And my apartment's not even that large, but from living in a single room, a almost like maybe 12-foot by 16-foot room, to now having four, God, it rotted me. It was some of the most intense emotion, fear, sadness, anxiety, trembling, and to some degree maybe exultation that everything's different and you're finally moving on. But it was really, 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 really emotional. And when I think back about that, I'm glad I was able to get over that. But it was a rough couple of days. It was certainly a rough couple of days. Luckily, I've now moved in. I've settled. I'm not that bad anymore. And I'm enjoying my new life here in New Jersey. And what I'm looking forward to now is just sort of getting out more and finding all the cool spots of New Jersey that I can. It's a weird state. And now, you know what the crazy part is now? The crazy part now is that I never thought I'd become like I always consider myself someone who's very impulsive. Not impulsive, but impetuous. Always wanting something new. Always wanting the next thing. When are we going? When are we moving here? And just not sitting down as much. Just not very staying put. And now, I've never thought I'd be someone who was watching HGTV, but the minute you get like an apartment like that, all of a sudden there's this massive opening of new places that you have to go to now, because when you don't give two shits about the apartment that you're in, and you're going to be there for a while, it's like, I got to make this place look nice. So before, you're looking at like, let's go, and maybe let's go to a Redbox, and what movie am I going to rent? What clothes am I going to buy? And now it's like, I should probably go to Home Goods and take a look at some new throw rugs for the kitchen. Or maybe I want to paint this wall gray. Or maybe we should make sure our accents on these counters are white instead of black. And I no clues would come over me. I'm prone to sort of that hypomania of like, I want to get into this and I want to try that. But that's like over me now. That's where I'm at. I want to tear walls down. I want to put construction hats on and do out layouts and change everything around. Of course I can. It's not my apartment. I still have my lease and I don't own it. But all of a sudden it's like, this is real. Like I'm not a homeowner, but I'm a tenant, and this is my space, and I need to make my space what it is. When I was in my MA, I didn't really care. My apartment, I had a little bit of decoration up, but how much can you decorate a 15 by 12 area or whatever it is? It's just one room. So now that I have all this space and I have all this opportunity, I'm like, I like that rug. Maybe I should put this on the wall here. What kind of frame am I going to put this in? Maybe I should buy potpourri. It's ungodly, and I never thought I'd get to this point in my life, but that's where I'm at. And I think about all those like old 50-year-old women that I used to look at when I was in high school and college, and see them buying things for their homes and that, and be like, oh my God, yeah, do something fun. Now this is like the fun. This is kind of the new fun thing, and I don't at all think it's going to last, but for what it's worth, I am enjoying this new aspect of decorating. I'm enjoying all these new things that I have to learn now, like cleaning and cooking and all of that. It's just you, and that moving out part's pretty crazy. I want like a bearskin fucking rug. I want like rattlesnakes that I've killed mantled on the wall. I want boar's heads that I've slaughtered. I want it to be the most Hemingway fucking decorations that I can. If I could live in a log cabin and hunt my own deer and kill things, you know, and, you know, Robert's trading, a fur trading company, that's what I need to do. That's what I would like to be. I'd like to have my own fur trade and live in a log cabin in fucking Nebraska somewhere, or it's the Canadian wilderness. And what we'll do is we'll come back for the second part of the show right after this.
The Average Gods podcast will back. Don't forget to like and interact with the show by leaving a review on iTunes. It helps out a lot, honestly. Or why not send the show a message by emailing the show at averagegodspodcast@gmail.com, all one word, by the way. Okay, enough intermission. Let's get back to the show and the second half of the episode. Robert, are you there? I think he is. Okay, here we go.
Okay, we're back. I was able to get some water. We're back for the second part. Just another thing, I wanted to throw some stuff in there that I've been thinking about recently. So I've been obsessed with pirates. It's an ongoing obsession that's been really... I started watching the show on Stars. It's called Black Sails. Now, I didn't really buy into Game of Thrones that much. I watched, I think, up until the end of season 4. And I enjoyed it, but I wasn't hooked. I think I was hooked, but there was this odd phenomenon that once the season ended, I just didn't care enough to go back to it. And I don't know if maybe just because I'm lazy or I was getting into other things, but I bring up Game of Thrones because Black Sails is like Game of Thrones, but there's a lot of Game of Thrones aspects to it. Even there's some even archetypes that I can tell, but it's set around the golden age of piracy, around like the late 1600s, early 1700s, mid 1700s. And it follows these like pirates and they're in Nassau and this colony. And the style is very Game of Thrones. There's like the swearing and the sexuality and the struggle for power. But I've always had this fascination for the like pirates and the sea, and it really is truly what you don't have, because I grew up not around the water. I grew up scared. I never really know how to swim, and water still freaks me out. But there's sort of like an awe about things that make you, that you're scared of, and that's why I think so many people like horror movies and that. So I really, really enjoy the sea, and like you have these pirates and they're like cursing, and you have like the pirates who are trying to keep it very civil, and you have the pirates who are just bloodthirsty, and they're like killing children and they're slaughtering women, and there's just whores everywhere. There's the prostitution aspect of it is just everywhere. And that's where I mean, like, after a couple times of just seeing enough TNA, I was like, this is like Game of Thrones, or this reminds me of those scenes in Game of Thrones and all that. So I would recommend it. But what I've been noticing is that I've just been obsessed a little bit with like how pirates are going, and like I just want to buy a boat. I want to buy a boat. I want to get an eye patch. I want to go and become this captain of a sea merchant vessel and deliver my furs that I've always wanted to offer. And I would just want to start in like the Dutch colonies and just go across the Atlantic and just deliver them to some English king or lord who sponsored my voyage. And I want to have some kind of widow who's waiting for me or something. It's just such a crazy little obsession that's come up. And I watched the whole first season of Black Sails, and it's really, really good. Admittedly, it's hard to get into at the beginning. The characters don't pop out as, I would say, as fast, or they're not nearly as vibrant as the Game of Thrones characters. Again, it takes a little bit, and I would say it's the first season, I think it's 8 episodes. It's around late, like 5, 6, that I was like, yes, I like this guy. I like that girl. She's doing good. I don't like that guy. But I just started to care a little bit more. So if anybody's looking, it used to be on Stars, and it stopped. It only did like 4 seasons. Really, pirates are like this crazy thing that, like, we don't know that much about them. So much of it has been idealized by Disney and just, you know, typical pop culture narratives. But there was also just as much brutality that you really want to, we don't talk about just as much how much rape and murder and just torture that these people did, and how a lot of, as much as there were people who were on merchant ships who were just honest seamen, trying to just get through everything. That's a weird word to say. There was sailors, I guess would be a better word. Just trying to get through the day. There were just as many like pirates or these buccaneers that were like slaughtering people, just killing innocent men. And to think that, like, usually in North America, I always claim that our history is so boring. Literally, from the beginning, it's like Native Americans and white people killing Native Americans. And then from there, there's a lot of, what the hell are we going to be in our government, right? There's like, oh, we want to be settlers and all that. And then after that, there's a little bit of, we don't like England and we want to secede. And then after that, it's a lot of, oh, the Wild West. And then after the Wild West is the Civil War. And then after the Civil War, there's the immigration of the late 1800s. And then the 1900s is all, you know, big industry, Rockefeller, banks, J.D. Morgan, oil. And then from there, it really just turns into a giant clusterfuck. But I always say that, like, that's it. There, you know, and I'm obviously simplifying it, but beyond the Civil War, it's, that's kind of it. You know, how many Civil War reenactments are around you? When I think of all, like, the local history, it's fucking coal miners, especially in PA. It is coal miners, and more coal miners. But it's cool to know that there is a part of that history, just for a little bit, where we had all these cool people coming in, all these crazy characters, and they truly were characters. They were, because they had so much less rules than your crazy military generals. Your military generals still had to win battles and had to report to people, usually. Whereas pirates kind of did whatever the fuck they wanted to do, and they could do whatever they want, and they were free, and that's kind of what was the appeal about it. So that's the show I've been watching, and if I have to give some kind of recommendation, check out Black Sails. It was originally on Stars. I don't exactly know how you find Stars stuff, but it was recommended to me by a friend, and I was able to find a way to watch it. But it has made me think about, like, let's buy a boat, let's get on it, let's just start heading over to the New World and just find some pirate havens where we can reload our blunderbusses and get rid of all of our golden plunder that we've been taking. It's been just a really, really crazy, crazy, crazy couple of things, and that's just the one thing that's latched onto me. What I'll do, though, I feel bad. It's a short episode, but I mean, it's been a couple of months, and I just wanted to get something out. So, again, it's not. I know this wasn't that great of an episode. I haven't really been that particularly interesting or funny, so I apologize. I'll get it back. I do have some big things coming up, though. I can definitely say that. Now that I've taken a couple weeks, a few months off, I have been able to really go back to the well and think about, it's been a good way to think about what is my creativity and ideas that I have. So I do have some things coming up which will be really, really good. So just hang in there. But I really wanted to just get this episode out and just say that it's still going. The podcast is still going. It hasn't faded. We're going to get them back. And I don't know the schedule I'm going to do. I'd like to get out 2 episodes a month, and I think I should be able to do that now that I'm stable. I have my schedule sort of figured out with my work and my free time. I think it'll be good, and I encourage you all to keep tuning back in. So I'm sorry that you had to deal with this really, really boring. You know, this was just sort of like a filler episode and just an update episode of where I've been and what I've been doing, but I thank you all for listening. I hope I've encouraged you all to watch Black Sails. And I will say that I am taking applications if you want to join my pirate crew. I am saving up money because now that I have this new amazing job where I'm making tons of money. Yeah. And I'm saving up money. I'm going to buy a pirate ship, and I'm going to start a crew. I'll be a captain of the crew, but I need a quartermaster. I need an armsman. I need a navigator. I need the guy who just turns the wheel. I need little, you know what? And we'll accept women, too. Typically, if you were a woman on a pirate ship around a bunch of men who haven't seen women for days upon end, it probably wasn't a good situation. But you know what? We are an equal opportunity pirater and privateer in recruitment company. So if you'd like to become a privateer, female, male, red, green, blue, black, brown, or white, I don't care. You can become one. I'm taking applications. You just email me. And it'll be great. I think it's gonna be great. You have to always name your ship after a female. I don't really know why, but I think I'm the HMS Celine Dion. That's what I'm going with. So if you want to join the HMS Celine Dion, it's gonna be. I have to still design a flag and everything to fly. So maybe we'll just I'll just put a picture of Celine Dion, with a skeleton body. And saying her bones will go on or something, but that's what I'm gonna do. So if you want to join the HMS Celine Dion, again, taking applications for quartermasters, taking applications for navigators and all that, please join me. I'm really taking this Black Sails show seriously. It's really been impactful for me. I think I know what I want to do in my life now. Screw the MA, screw all my degrees. I'm gonna become a pirate. It's gonna be great. I'm telling you all, it's gonna be amazing. So. Thank you for watching thank you for listening to episode 12 of Average Gods Podcast. I will catch you in, we will sail in episode 13. So I'll see you all then. Send your applications in now. Start practicing your blunderbuss reloading skills. Start practicing your sword fighting. It's going to be great, y'all. Trust me. We're going to start, taking down cruise ships. It's going to be amazing. I'm telling you, I don't know what you're making now, but you think about how much gold we're going to make off of this and how much pearls and jade and emeralds we're going to steal. It's going to be amazing. Tobacco, watch. I have connections that will buy all of it. It's going to be great. So send your applications in to the HMS Celine Dion, and I will talk to you all in the next episode. For Robert on AGP, take care, mateys. See you then.